to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Monday morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for choosing WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship, to get your Monday morning, your work week started off on the right note. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we are thankful that we get to spend the next half hour with you talking about the Word of God. We're gonna go back and we're going to touch on a couple of things that we don't want leading us in our life. And then we'll move back on to the positive sides of things. So that's where we're headed today. But we do want to take just a moment to say thank you to Bill Andriak, Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. I just got back from a place that does not need air conditioning yet, but they need heat. And so I'm thankful to be back in balmy Florida. And if you want to make sure that your AC system is up and running to peak performance, give them a call. Whether it's you just want somebody to come out and give your system a good cleaning to get it ready, you know, let me just say this. Make sure that you're checking your air filter. That can cause your electric bill to go up drastically. So I check mine just every couple of weeks because of the fact that I've got some dogs, and their fur just loves to find its way to my air filter. And so I would rather replace a $4 air filter than I would to have to replace a $4,000 air conditioner. So make sure that you change that. But if you need your coils cleaned, if you just want to have somebody come out and say, hey, you know, is this going to give me the most efficient cooling system that I can? Listen, they can handle package units. They can handle traditional outside condensing units and inside air handlers. They can handle roof systems. They can handle package units, the micro split systems. If you got a window unit, you know, they know how to handle all of those things. And I want to encourage you to give them a call, 321-759-3284, and they can get you to that place where you can keep your house at just the temperature you like it. So we were out visiting my folks, and they keep their house a little different temperature than what we keep ours. It's your house. Make sure that you have control over that. And I'll tell you one more thing that you could possibly look at that would save your save you some money on your electric bill and probably pay for itself by the end of summer. And that is if you get a programmable thermostat where you can set it for different zones and you can put it on different days and things like that. They're really not that expensive, but boy, can they save you a lot of money. And so he can help you with that as well. Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284. So we are back in town. We're hitting the road again, and you know, here in Brevard County, and we're glad to be able to spend the next half hour with you. Today we're going to be in Jeremiah, the second chapter is where we're going to start. Then we're going to go to Isaiah and Jeremiah chapter 2. But before I get to the verse that I want to really talk about, I want to take you to verse number 4. And it says, "Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, what injustice have your fathers found in me, that they have gone far from me, have followed idols, and have become idolaters? Neither did they say, where is the Lord who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and pits, through a land of drought and the shadow of death, through a land that no one crossed and where no one dwelled? I brought you into a bountiful country to eat its fruit and its goodness, and when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priests did not say, where is the Lord? And those who handled the law did not know me. The rulers also transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. So let's talk about this passage first, and then we'll move a little later on down to verse number 14. So God comes to them and he said, you have been following idols. In other words, the idols were leading them, and that which they followed became what they became. So they followed idols and they became idolaters. What you follow is what you will become. If you want to follow God, if you want God to lead you, you are going to become godly. Okay? Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. He wanted to become like Jesus. Christians, that word Christian is what they were called in Antioch, and it means little Christ. It doesn't mean that we become God. It means that as we are following Christ, as we're disciples of Christ, that we are becoming more and more like him on a regular day, on a regular schedule. It's something that's not abnormal. It's something that happens day by day by day. I'll get my words right yet. So that's what he said. So we've got to be careful as to who leads us, because that's going to be what we become. And so we'll talk a little bit more about that. Here it says God brought them out of the land of Egypt, and he led them through the wilderness. He led them through deserts. He led them through pits. He led them through drought. He led them through the shadow of death. He led them through a land that no one had crossed and no one had dwelt. God said, I was able to lead you in impossible circumstances. I was able to lead you in paths that you have never even dreamed of before. And now you want to go and follow these gods who've done nothing for you except for lead you astray and are causing you to become the very thing that I displaced to make room for you. Okay, that's what he said. And so he goes on and he talks about the leadership, the spiritual leadership that was going on in the land of Israel at that time. In verse number 8, he says, the priests do not say, where is the Lord? Those who handle the law do not know me. The rulers transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that did not profit. So here we have the priest, we have the teachers, we have the rulers, and we have the prophets. And all of them are operating outside of the anointing of God. They're handling things that they don't even know about, and they're trying to portray themselves as experts about things that they are completely ignorant of. He says, and the priests haven't even noticed that I'm not there, and they're not asking, where is the Lord? They just assumed that if they were following a God, that everything was okay, everything was copacetic. But instead, God said, they should have been saying, where is he? One of my favorite quotes from the Bible is when Elisha returns after Elijah has been carried off by the chariots of fire, and Elijah told him, you've asked a difficult thing, but nevertheless, if you see me, when I am taken away, this double portion that you have asked for will be yours. And when Elijah was carried up, his mantle fell to the earth. Elisha said, hey, I see that. My Lord, my Lord, the horsemen of Israel and the chariots thereof. He said, I see it. So he comes right back to the Jordan River, which Elijah had just rolled up his mantle and struck it, and the waters parted. And Elisha is now at that same body of water, and he rolls up the mantle and he says, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And then he strikes the water. He says, "Where is God? The God who was with Elijah, where is he in my life right now?" Can I challenge us today to believe that the God who does impossible things would continue to manifest? He is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same supernatural God. He hasn't carved out this little space of time and says, "No, I'm going to tie my hands. I'm not going to be all that I could be. I'm going to let these people struggle through." I believe that we still serve a God who does great and amazing things. So, says the rulers transgressed against me. We're talking about the leadership of the people. And it talked about that all of these leaders were walking after things. They were pursuing things that were not ultimately profitable. As you're going about this week, as you're starting to plan your week, say, "God, what do you have for me this week?" Why don't you make an evaluation list and ask yourself this question. Is this activity, is this portion of my time that I spend, is it going to be profitable for me? Is it going to be profitable for those around me? Is it going to be profitable for the kingdom? Okay? Because there are a lot of people that are pursuing things that do not profit them. We can't afford that type of waste of time anymore. We are too close. There are people dying on a regular basis, and they haven't heard about Jesus. I've heard this statistic. I don't know how they get to this figure, but they say that America is the third largest mission field in the world because we have such a massive portion of our country who knows nothing about God at this point in time. And that ought to be unacceptable. That ought to be enough to motivate us to say, you know what, we need to reevaluate the way that we are handling ourselves so that we become profitable for the kingdom. Verse number 14. So all of that was foundational. Is Israel a servant? Is he a homeborn slave? This is Jeremiah 2:14. Why is he plundered? The young lions roared at him and growled. They made his land waste. His cities are burned without inhabitant. Also, the people of Noph and Tapanes have broken the crown of your head. Have you not brought this on yourself in that you have forsaken the Lord when he led you in the way? And why take the road to Egypt to drink the waters of Sihor, or take the road to Assyria to drink the waters of the river? Your own wickedness will correct you, and your backslidings will rebuke you. Know therefore and see that it is an evil and bitter thing that you have forsaken the Lord your God, and the fear of me is not in you, says the Lord of hosts. Here, Jeremiah tells them that they have forsaken the leadership of God. They've forsaken God when he was leading them. And he says, all of the trouble that you are currently experiencing. Now this is a tough word. This is a tough word. Okay? This may not be the case in every case, but it was the case for the people here in Israel. It's not always been true in my life, but it's been true in my life a lot of times. And that is this, that the trouble that I go through is trouble that I brought on myself because I didn't follow God's leadership. Can we just all issue a collective ouch, ouch. Because it was true of Israel. He said, you know, you are currently a bond servant and you weren't born that. You've brought this on yourself. He said, your land used to be a domesticated land. It used to not be ravaged by the wild animals, but now there's not enough people in the land to keep the land under control. Used to be your cities were filled and inhabited, but now they're nothing but burned out ruins. You used to be the leader, and now you are looked upon in disgrace. And he says, you've brought this on yourself, and now instead of allowing God to lead you even in that condition of brokenness, he said, you want to take your own road, you want to go to Egypt, you want to go to... I'm telling you, if I had been in Israel, I don't think I would have ever wanted to return to the land that had once made me captive. And Assyria, who would want to go back there? And he says this, your own wickedness will correct you and your backslidings will rebuke you. Now, again, this is a difficult passage. But in order for those two things to take place, we've got to be teachable. We've got to be able to be corrected. We've got to allow the circumstances that we deal with to speak into our life and say, something isn't right here. And he says, know therefore and see that it is an evil thing, evil and bitter thing, that you have forsaken the Lord your God, and the fear of me is not in you, says the Lord of hosts. So we need to have the reverence for God and say, God, you know what? I don't want to forsake you. I want to cling to you. You said you would not leave us, but we have left you. And he said, as a result of your decisions, you're experiencing things that I never wanted you to experience. I wanted you to experience the good things of God, and you're experiencing the evil things that the devil has for you. I wanted life to be sweet for you, and instead you are experiencing bitterness and hardship. He said, don't forsake my leadership. We're going to turn over to Isaiah now. Isaiah. And we are going to be in Isaiah chapter 3 and Isaiah chapter 9. It says something similar in both places. Isaiah chapter 3 and let's just look at verse number 12. As for my people, children are their oppressors and women rule over them. O my people, those who lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your paths. Now, in Isaiah chapter 9, it says this, for the leaders of this people cause them to err, and those who are led by them are destroyed. So, what we're looking at today is we cannot afford to do two things. First of all, we cannot afford to forsake the leadership of God. That's going to lead to a very hard, difficult, bitter life. The second thing is that we cannot afford to allow those who are in leadership to continue to lead away from God. Okay. Now, if you were to look at some of the things that were going on in Isaiah and in Jeremiah, the things that were taking place, instead of serving God, there were a lot of idols that were being served, and some of those idols required child sacrifice. Because of some of the things that Baal worship allowed and the worship of Molech allowed, there were some inconvenient ramifications of their choices, and some of those things was that there were children that were being born, and so what happened was they began to offer their children to these foreign gods. Can I tell you that we cannot afford as a society to take the heritage of the Lord, the young and the innocent blessings that God intended, that he knits together in a mother's womb. We can't afford to take those human beings and offer them on an idol's altar. I don't know about you, but if I've got a loved one that is sick, I want to make sure that somebody has given it their best effort to find a cure. And you cannot tell me that about the potential that is eliminated whenever babies are sacrificed on the altar of convenience, altar of idolatry. And now it's to the point here in America where there are people racing. There are literally states racing to be the leader in the abortion industry. And I'm not getting into the political ramification. I'm here in the spiritual ramification, and that is this: leaders who are leading you away from life, leaders who are leading in an ungodly manner, leaders who are leading into what was described in the Bible as something that God condemns, and that it glorified idols instead. Leaders who are leading like that, they cause the people who follow them to err. It says it in Isaiah chapter 3, verse number 12. It says it in chapter 9, verse number 16, that ungodly leaders cause people to err, and it is going to lead to destruction. One of the reasons that is given for the children of Israel being removed from the land by the king of Assyria was because of how they treated their kids. It's not something that God winks at. And I believe that it is a principle that is worth fighting for. I believe that it is a line in the sand. And I, for one, will not cross that line. I will not put a stamp of endorsement on any or for anyone who is going to cause me or my family or my church or my community or my country to be led away in error instead of being led in truth. Now, we live in a very very challenging season. We've got leaders all over the place that are all across the spectrum from godliness to ungodliness. I'm not saying that we're going to be able to elect a perfect person to dog catcher if they're still voting on dog catchers. I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is we've got to make sure that we hold our leaders accountable and say, don't lead us away in spiritual error. Now, there is a lot of pressure. There are people who are pressured to lead in a manner that is politically correct. But politically correct doesn't measure up to godliness. We cannot afford as a country to be led away in spiritual error, because the result of that is destruction. If you look back at Rome, it is said of Rome that they were not defeated by from the outside. They were not defeated from the outside. Instead, they were defeated because of the internal decay that happened on a societal level And that is what led to their downfall. And Roman, the Roman government, the Roman system of government, lasted a lot longer than what America's been around yet. We cannot afford to be led astray. And you can't say, well, you know, that it's just the law of the land, and you know, we're supposed to submit to those in authority. Listen, we are the ultimate authority that we submit to is God. And any time in the scripture where the people of God were commanded to do something that was displeasing to God, that was ungodly in his sight and wasn't going to be for their benefit, they took a stand and missed the leader who originally mandated the ungodly behavior. Their heart was changed as a result of Christians being bold enough to take a stand. One last thing. I've got literally 2 minutes here, and you and I can't afford to be led away in foolishness. Let me just give you one verse here. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. I've got a friend that I know. He used to have an issue with this in his life, and he looks at this verse and he says, there is nothing in that bottle that is beneficial. Let me read the verse to you. Wine is a mocker. Do you want to be mocked? Strong drink is a brawler. You just want to spend your entire life fighting. And it says, whoever is led astray by it is not wise. Alcohol will lead you to foolishness. It will lead to foolish behavior. It will, at one point in time, it will bring you to that place, and it will make an open mockery of you. And God does not want that for you. He doesn't want that for me. We've been offered alcohol. We don't make a big deal out of it. When somebody offers it to us, we just decline politely and say thank you very much. And you know, the Bible says that people are a bit bewildered. Well, why don't you participate in our debauchery with us? Well, there's nothing there that has an interest for me. I've had too many relatives that were mocked, too many people who ended up fighting the fight of their life because alcohol led them astray. Let's be led by the things God wants us to be led by. See you next time.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Promises shatter, answers don't come. Friends say goodbye, plans come undone. Dreams get crushed, lies get told. Words can turn.